You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table. My name is Brad and I'm your host.
My name is Alex.
And we're here to talk about the solo movie and spinoff movies in general. So it was actually last week that the solo movie hit theaters to decent numbers, actually. And people keep saying that it's bombing in theaters, but it's actually hitting some good numbers, even though it's getting very mixed reviews on
it. I don't want to say it's not terrible numbers, but compared, I think that it's even lower than the prequels, I think. I think they even said, like, the numbers are lower than what the prequels made. And I think that's why a lot of people are saying it's bombing, because it's considered the lowest box office pull so far, at least. I don't know if we want to count the Clone Wars, like the Clone Wars movie.
Oh, are you talking about the animated one?
Yeah, the one that was that preceded the actual TV show, because I know that one wasn't really liked that much, but that did have a theatrical run.
Was a limited theatrical run, though. I think counting that would be cheating. It's kind of like, I don't know, we can find another thing that somehow was doing worse than this.
Yeah,
and I think that would be cheating to call that one in.
Yeah, let me look at that up real fast.
Yeah, because domestic is still under $150 million for Solo, and this is the second weekend for it.
Yeah, I think it dropped down to like $26 million this weekend. And I don't think it even had anything to go up against this weekend, too, which is really surprising. I think the only movie that really came out this weekend was Action Point, that Johnny Knoxville movie. So, especially with last week being Memorial Day weekend, you know, you thought that a lot of people would go in this weekend since people are spending time with their families and everything. But even then, Memorial Day weekend and the week after aren't that really good in general, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's actually making half of what the Rogue One movie made so far.
Yeah, that one hit $1 billion, though, if I remember correctly, and they're saying that this one's not even going to come close.
Oh, no. Not at all. Yeah, Rogue One barely hit $1 billion with $500 million domestic and $500 million foreign. So it barely hit it.
Yeah, and I think, like, in going with that, I think that Disney kind of is going back to the drawing, because I forget who I think it was one of the producers or something. They said that they're going to go back to kind of figure out what happened. Is it because no one really cared about a Han Solo spinoff, or was it because they released it 5 months after Last Jedi, or, you know, is there Star Wars fatigue? Should they go to just making a movie every 2 years? Like, they're trying to figure out why exactly people didn't want to go see it. I think that, honestly, I just don't think we needed this movie. I enjoyed it for the most part, but I really don't think it needed to be made. Because we had his backstory in comics. You know, this is only set like 7 years before A New Hope or something like that.
Yeah, it's very close to A New Hope.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it for the most part. It had a really good twist that can bring those veteran Star Wars viewers in with, of course, spoiler alerts, Darth Maul.
Yeah.
So that was a big twist, in my opinion, which they could kind of branch off in later movies. But now, looking at it, do you think that they'll want to make another movie after this? Like, do you really think they're going to continue making this into a trilogy? Like, or do you think they're just kind of going to maybe go the animated route or something? Like, what do you think they're going to do with this movie? Like,
I think they're going to continue trying to just do like one-off stories of different characters. I don't see them doing a Solo 2 or a direct sequel to this one in any way. I feel like we're going to get a Lando movie just because everybody's asking for it. It's like the one thing everybody agrees on after watching this movie is we want a Lando movie. Then we've already got the Boba Fett movie pretty much confirmed. So I feel like they're going to kind of go that way in like the spinoff direction of just solo movies for every one of these characters that are already established, and we might see them cross paths and everything in their movies, like Lando in this one, and then, you know, we'll probably see some kind of Jedi in the Boba Fett movie. And
yeah, and what kind of, I think that maybe may frustrate a few people, especially with this movie, is that nothing really happened in this movie to kind of, I mean, we learned how Han Solo got his name, really, and we learned that he lived, you know, in a bad place. But, you know, we know the story about, you know, kind of how he got the Millennium Falcon, and of course we saw, you know, him, you know, completing the Parsec run, of course. But we really didn't see kind of what made him be Han that we know in A New Hope. And I think they kind of answered that a little bit in the, you know, in the comics and everything, but they left a lot of stuff open in this movie, especially with that Darth Maul twist, because now we know Darth Maul's running stuff. So in between Revenge of the Sith, I can't say anything about Clone Wars or Rebels just because I haven't finished it.
Well, I can say he does play a part in both of those series.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. But I think like the biggest thing is that because if this is set before 7 years before A New Hope, that means that because I know Rebels leads up to Rogue One to A New Hope, because that final battle in Rogue One, some of the people in Rebels was there during that Rogue One fight that led into A New Hope. So between sometime in Rebels and Solo, or Solo and Rebels, you know, Darth Maul is kind of operating in the background. So like now we know that he's operating stuff in the background. So how are they going to continue that? Are they going to do another TV show? Are they going to do like, I mean, and this, putting them in this movie opens up a lot of possibilities. And especially with Kira, like, are we going to get a Kira spinoff? Not like movie wise, maybe in a comic or something. Because now we have this Kira person who's important in the universe now. She's, you know, Darth Maul's lackey. So like it opens up a lot of more story opportunities, and I just don't know where they're going to go from there. Of course, Lando, you know, Lando's story may be how he lost the Millennium Falcon. It may end with him losing the Millennium Falcon to you know, Han and stuff like that. But it's,
well, we saw that in the end credits kind of scene, or not end credits, but the scene like right before the credits where Han challenges Lando to another game of cards. He wins the Millennium Falcon in that.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Which,
I forgot about that part.
They changed it because originally he won it with a game of dice, which he had gold plated and turned into the dice he hangs up on like the mirror of the Millennium Falcon and everything. So
That's right.
And then he has those at the beginning of the movie already turned into like the chain and everything. So this movie ended up taking lore that was already established and going, nah, that doesn't exist anymore. We're going to change that up. And then it added nothing new.
Yeah, and that was the weird thing, like it with this movie, is that there you had the relationship between Han and Kira, and then of course, you know, and then of course we already know how that's gonna, well, maybe end. We don't really know. I mean, it kind of just left with her leaving him on the, you know, on the planet, and then of course we all know he gets with Leia, and you know, after A New Hope and everything. So like, what happens next? I mean, because she's never mentioned in A New Hope. So are we just going, how are they going to, that's why I'm trying to figure out how they're going to continue this. Rogue One, it had a story and it led into A New Hope. It was like a prequel in a way to A New Hope. And Boba Fett, they could probably do a little cool story and it ends up with him being contracted by Jabba. Or it could be a Boba Fett movie now that he's been confirmed that he survived the Sarlacc pit. Who knows? We don't know where that movie's going to be set.
Right.
But with this movie, I don't know where it's going to go. Are they going to leave it like this? Are they just going to make it into a comic form so they don't have to worry about making another movie? It's just, there's a lot of questions that the last like 20, 30 minutes of the movie kind of just opened up. And especially with the movie not doing as well, I'm very curious on how Disney's going to go from here.
Yeah. Well, with the movie doing bad, I think it's pretty much guaranteed that they're not going to make a sequel for it. You know, I think that's completely off the deck right now, but I still want them to do the Lando spinoff, because Donald Glover as Lando was absolutely fantastic in this movie, and I want to see more of him in that role 100%.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, he was definitely one of the best ones. Woody Harrelson was really, honestly, Woody Harrelson.
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah. Yeah. He's still amazing, but he's still Woody Harrelson. Paul Bettany as Dryden. He did his best of, because I know he was added at like the last minute.
Was he?
If I remember. Yeah, I think his character was supposed to be someone else entirely, but that person, but when all that shakeup happened, when the Millers, Chris Lord and, or
Miller, oh, when Ron Miller Howard Lord took over.
Left over. Yeah, when Ron Howard took over, the guy who they originally had, he could not redo the reshoots anymore because he was doing another TV show or a movie. So they had to recast him entirely. So they made an entirely new character, and Ron Howard brought on Paul Bettany, if I remember correctly. And he was like a last minute like addition, so that's why you didn't really see it. Almost that in every set scene with Dryden was basically Ron Howard, from what I understand. It was like a weird thing because when they came up, they said, "Oh, Paul Bettany's now joined," and I forget what the guy's name was. He could not come in at all. Like they couldn't even fit him in just to bring him in just to do a couple scenes. Like he just could not come out, so they just scrapped that entire character. He may show up in the deleted scenes. But I think they changed Dryden's character a lot from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I can't even think of any scenes that didn't feel like Ron Howard had his hands in them.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, is that even as great as a director Ron Howard is, that he even when he did his best on this movie, there was just no way I felt this movie was going to be a great movie. As much as I really love Ron Howard, you could really tell that he tried his best, but there no way. I don't think that this movie was ever going to be a great movie.
In the hands of Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, I could have seen it being a great movie, just because they can somehow turn, you know, okay concepts into amazing. I don't know how, but they always seem to pull it off.
Yeah, and that's what's weird too. It's just like with the whole controversy behind the scenes and everything. I mean, we will never know. I mean, we don't know if it's because of the main actor, Alden Heinrich, or we've heard that it's also Lawrence Crichton, the writer, the guy who's been on with Star Wars since like the beginning.
Right.
I forget his name, but I heard that he didn't like what they're doing with the script. And there's just a lot of weird things. And it felt like they just, like the people who were in front of everything just did not like how they were doing things. And, you know, and that's what caused Kathleen Kennedy to get rid of them. But with Ron Howard, I feel like that he basically made a movie that kind of similar to Justice League, I guess, in a way, where when they brought in Joss Whedon, but with Ron Howard, he basically changed I think 3/4 of the movie is from what I understand.
They did a lot of reshoots. Like that was a big deal for this movie. Like most movies have reshoots that happen, you know, during the post-production phase. This one had a lot, though, from what I recall.
Okay, so here we go. So Dryden Voss was originally in the movie, but the character was originally going to be played by Michael Kenneth Williams as a motion captured alien character resembling a mountain lion. So when Ron Howard came in, so he wasn't available for reshoots because he was doing the Red Sea Diving Resort. And then when Paul Bettany came in, they basically just made him human with scars on his face.
So yeah, he didn't seem very fancy or strange looking at all. He just kind of seemed normalish.
Yeah,
for villain.
Did they explain how he got those scars?
Or no, did I miss that? Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, he really had no background either, and I don't know if he just changed that too. Which I'm guessing if he was a, you know, alien character, they maybe had like, you know, I'm from the planet blah 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 blah. But he didn't really have that much of a background. I mean, from what I know from my roommate, that he was the leader of Crimson Dawn, which if I'm pretty sure if I watched Rebels and Clone Wars, I probably would have understood most of it. But it feels like it's something that you had to know a lot from the cartoons to kind of understand his background a little bit with the syndicates and the Crimson Dawn, which I'm guessing is tied to Darth Maul. I try not to ask too much because I still haven't watched it and didn't want to spoil myself. But it feels like that if you didn't watch those shows, his character really wouldn't make much sense to you.
Dryden's character still really doesn't make much sense, even seeing the TV shows. Because I've watched Clone Wars and I've watched Rebels, and it still, his character was very loosely explained in this movie. Like, this movie did not do a very good job of introducing characters. You have Lando, Chewie, and Han, which everybody already knows. Everybody else that's introduced, you really can't tell me anything about them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you had the android who wanted to find a purpose in life, which is very, I don't want to say on the nose, but on the nose, kind of, who just kind of wants to find a purpose in the life. And then you had Kira, and, you know, which is a love interest. I mean, she was good. I mean, I mean, she was good for what she did. And then now you have those resistant fighters who feel like, you know, they just basically watched a bunch of people play Destiny and copied a bunch of outfits from Destiny, in my opinion. I feel like we were watching Destiny during that scene. But I don't even understand what they are, too. I guess they're like resistance fighters in a way, but not part of the resistance. They're kind of like a small clan of their own trying to free the Empire. It was very, I don't know.
They didn't explain it at all. Not only that, but you had these characters that you could have actually fleshed out and been like, oh, cool, this is, you know, this group of kind of elite, not rebels, but, you know, pilots that go through and try and take down the Empire without working with the rebels. And instead they were like, okay, so we got three guys. One of them's played by Woody Harrelson, and that's about it.
And I forget her name, but she, if for anyone who watched Westworld, she plays Maeve in Westworld. She's a fantastic actress. That was Woody Harrelson's girlfriend, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I forget her actual name, but if you watch Westworld, she plays Maeve, one of the androids in that show, and she's a fantastic actress. Sucks that she didn't really last long in the movie. Yeah, and then they didn't really talk about the Empire much. I mean, they kind of had, like, in the beginning, like, when Han Solo joined the Empire, which I don't remember that ever happening.
Movie changed a lot about his origin story, pretty much.
Secret background that not many people knew. And I never knew he joined the Empire. I'm sure they maybe talked about it in the comics or something, but like, yeah, I never knew he joined the Empire. But of course, like you said, and same with like how he got his name. Oh, he's Solo. Okay, that's the most, you know, not obvious, but obvious way to kind of, you know, and he's just said, he's like, oh, I always work alone, which I guess so. Your name's Solo. So I got kind of guess they kind of just did that just to kind of do that way. Didn't have really any resemblance at all.
I feel like that was just a line thrown in the afternoon of one of the writing days of just, hey, we can make him, you know, have people call him Solo because he just kind of goes solo. Yeah, put that in. That's good.
Yeah, you got a family? No. Han Solo. Okay. Yeah, and it's just a lot of this movie, like, it was entertaining to watch, you know, especially like when you first meet Woody Harrelson on the battlefield. They had a lot of cool stuff with that, you know, showing the war with the Empire. They showed like a different part of the war with the Empire, which I thought was cool. I did like seeing that, how like the Empire wasn't just, you know, them finding secret, you know, Jedi and stuff. You know, there was the Empire is literally, you know, fighting real wars of people and not, you know, stuff like that. I actually like seeing that kind of side of the Empire a bit, which is kind of different. We never really see.
It was only during like a 5-minute segment, though.
Exactly. Yeah, it was only five, which is why it sucks. And, you know, it was cool actually seeing the Empire side for once. You know, in Rogue One, we saw them, you know, infiltrate the Empire. The new movies, you see them infiltrate, you know, the First Order. But you never see something in the perspective of the Empire where Han Solo, he didn't infiltrate. He was part of the Empire. And you saw them, you know, doing what they do and their base and, you know, stuff like that. That was cool, even though it was short. I kind of wish they would kind of make like a spinoff movie where we learn more about the Empire and stuff like that. That'd be really cool in my opinion. But like I said, it was very short. It was a very short sequence that we probably may never get, but I hope so.
Yeah, for a movie, the pacing for the overall movie wasn't bad, but if you actually look at scene by scene, a lot of it was rushed through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when it came to the character development in this movie. Because if you were to have this as a standalone movie without watching any of the other Star Wars movies, you wouldn't have any connection to any of these people. You wouldn't care who Chewbacca was. You would think that Lando was a throwaway that'll never be seen again. And Han, you probably wouldn't really care about either. You know, if this movie didn't come out as a prequel to what we've already seen, I wouldn't have cared about these characters at all. 100%.
Yeah, and like a good example for that is when Han first meets Chewie. He's all like, throw him in with the beast, and we're all like, oh, is he going to throw? Is it going to be kind of like, you know, in Return of the Jedi, when Luke was thrown into the
What you're talking about—the giant kind of lizardy thing.
Yeah, I can't think of the name. Kind of like that, where he's like, "Oh, he's does he have to fight his way out?" Nah, it's just Chewbacca, who really isn't a beast. He's just someone that's been tortured, and then immediately we learn, oh, he can speak. You know, that's where you can learn that he knows. You know, Wookiee. It's not that he learned over time. He's like, oh no, I took a what did he say? He's like, he took a class
on it.
Yeah, which is very specific. Like, oh, of course you took a class on Wookiee, because you know you never knew you're going to be. You know, you live in the slums and everything, and you had a class that taught you how to speak Wookiee. I kind of felt
which
like that.
You
was
never
kinda
see
like...
Wookiees just kind of walking around anywhere.
Exactly.
They're never a background character in any movies.
I always felt like he's like over the years he built this bond with, you know, Chewie and kind of learned, you know, stuff like that. It makes sense for someone like Rey or someone or like Baz or someone who spends times in loneliness and reading up to gain knowledge and stuff like that. Then they can learn, you know, oh, there's a Wookiee language, you know, stuff like that. They may learn it. But when you have someone like Han who's always out for survival, you know, he lives in the slums, it feels odd that he would take a class in Wookiee. And I felt that was kind of like a throwaway line to show that, oh, that's how he can speak Wookiee. You know, it makes sense for some of the other characters that we know that can understand him, mainly because of their stature on wanting knowledge and stuff like that. But I've kind of just felt that weird. I kind of just thought that over the years that they knew each other, they kind of built that bond, and he just understood Chewie. Like, he learned how to speak with him and stuff like that. So that was odd, in my opinion. But seeing that scene with them meeting and stuff, it was cool, you know, gaining their trust and stuff like that. You know, that was cool. And that's what I felt like a lot of this movie was, just a bunch of cool moments to kind of get that nostalgia, I guess, out for people who watched the originals and loved Chewie and Han and stuff like that. But they never really went further with it. They never really made you, I'm trying to figure out a way to say it.
They didn't really give this movie a purpose of existing.
Yeah, exactly. They just wanted to kind of give that fanboy, you know, fan service. There you go. It's kind of like a fan service in a way. And, you know, and I kind of feel like Darth Maul could have been fan service, but kind of knowing about the background of Rebels, I feel like I could connect to that. So that kind of feels like that was actually story-wise connection, based on what I know. But yeah, a lot of the stuff I feel like it was a lot of fan service. The Parsec run. You know, oh, I can, he's like, you can, it's 20 parsecs away. Oh, I'm going to finish it in, you know, I can finish it in 14. And even then, like, at the end, I don't know if you catch that line. He said, oh, I did the, parsec run in, or the Kessick, run in 12 parsecs. And then Chewie said something. He's like, oh, I'm rounding down. So it sounds like he really didn't do it in 12 parsecs. He did it something that was higher, but he rounded down to 12. So
right.
I don't know what that line was. So it's a lot of fan service for sure.
Yeah. it's the fan service is okay if there's actual substance around it, though. And in this movie, you didn't have that at all. Which kind of creates that problem where that spin-off movies typically have, where, yeah, you get to see these characters in a different way, but it's not a good thing. And it kind of makes me a little bit scared for the Boba Fett movie, because one of the things about Boba Fett is that he's kind of mysterious, and he's just this very mysterious bounty hunter that we just know has done huge feats. Is the movie just going to show everything that, you know, Darth Vader talked about him?
Yeah, because we all remember how, you know, how, what was this? Attack of the Clones. We know how all that turned out when they tried to introduce Jango Fett and everything.
Yeah.
We know how that ended. At least with Boba Fett, I mean, it's funny how a lot of people say that, you know, Boba Fett only had a few minutes of screen, but he's one of the most popular characters in the entire Star Wars universe. So we really don't know much about Boba Fett. I know we have a few comics out there, but I think those are all like outside canon, if I remember correctly. I think a lot of those were like the extended universe, if I remember correctly. So
I think
canon-wise, I don't think there's much.
Yeah, because once Disney got Star Wars, they kind of erased all the comics and books and everything that explained anything Boba Fett. So the only things that were considered canon after Disney took over is the prequels, the three original movies, and the Clone Wars TV show. And then, of course, everything made once Disney took over. But
yes, yeah, so all the current comics. So, like with Han Solo, he had a wife apparently before Leia.
Right.
So that's another weird thing. So sorry to interrupt. So that's another weird thing. So now in the comics, there's a Han Solo story where he has a wife. So between that 7 years between this movie and A New Hope, not only has apparently he's gotten over Kira, we don't know how he's gotten over Kira, but he's also somehow gotten a wife in between. So, and then he meets Leia a few years later. So and that's kind of where some of the conflict is coming in, because there's a Han Solo comic out there that tells a lot of the story, you know, about Han Solo. And since this is the beginning of his story, that means all of those comics fit in between A New Hope and Solo. And they, in all that is kind of mixed into that lore now. So for people who's probably read all that, things could possibly get jumbled. And I think that's another problem they could run into.
Yeah. Overall, this movie is just creating more confusion than it's actually answering questions fans had.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot. We have also Battlefront 2. That's canon.
Oh, that's right.
That's canon. Well,
that takes place after Return of the Jedi.
That takes in place in between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. But even then, there's still a lot of story moments in there that where he talks about stuff that happened before he met Luke and stuff like that. So that stuff would be canon too. So I haven't beat it yet, but there was a few lines he mentioned in the thing talking about previous smuggle jobs and stuff like that before, you know, he got into the whole Empire thing. So there's a lot of, you know, messed up stuff in that, too. So, I don't know. I feel like this movie's caused more problems.
It's one of those things I didn't think of after I got out of the theater. But, yeah, kind of looking back now, it's like, yeah, that movie just kind of brought up a lot of things that it shouldn't have and changed things that make everything else not make sense anymore.
Yeah, and
they kind of messed that up.
Well, yeah, now that the movie's not doing well, we may never get these answers, you know. And it's just kind of like, all right, it's kind of like when a TV show gets canceled abruptly and it never gets to finish its story, you know. It kind of feels like that, and now they can't connect all those small little dots and everything else like that. Now they could make another one, and they can bring Ron Howard back, say, "Hey, Ron, we want you to make your own Star Wars movie." And I don't think he'd do that, but
probably not.
If they do, they would probably learn from the mistakes of not firing someone in the middle of a, you know, movie, especially when most of it was done. We'll see. I mean, it's hard to tell. It could be that once they do the Obi-Wan movie, and even if we do get a Han Solo movie, it's not going to be until, let's see, So they do one movie a year. So if episode's 9 next year, we're going to get a spinoff in 2020. We're going to get a main title in 2021 probably, and then 2022. So if anything, it's always the even years. So we may not even get another really, unless they decide to do more, maybe 2026, unless they just stop doing the trilogies. Because remember, we still have Rian Johnson's trilogy. That's a movie series. We have Jon Favreau's TV shows. That's a thing. And then we have the Game of Thrones directors. They're doing a movie, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then James Mangoldy, the guy who did Logan, he's doing Boba Fett. Yeah, unless they plan on doing multiple movies a year, it's just hard to say.
Disney is definitely going to create Star Wars fatigue if they keep this up. If Solo wasn't the movie that kind of shows that there's some fatigue going on with Star Wars, they're going to hit it very soon. Because especially since the last three movies have not done very well critically. Because Rogue One did not do very well critically. The Last Jedi, just audience-wise, was 50-50 split on good or bad. And this one is not doing any better. So if the next like mainline Star Wars or Episode 9 doesn't do well, that might be where Disney kind of resorts out what they're doing with the franchise.
Yeah, and now they have the TV shows and all that stuff, and then, of course, now and then also you have the Marvel side of stuff, which more people are going to go see more Marvel movies, you know, especially with Infinity War, and that could change after Infinity War Part 2. You know, people may stop seeing those movies because, you know, you're not going to have Thor anymore, you're not going to have Captain America, Iron Man. After those characters go, what's going to happen? Disney's going to find themselves in an interesting spot, and I think it's going to be hard to tell in the next few years, but it's Rogue One was what got lucky. It had good reviews. You know, it had favorable reviews and it made $1 billion, and it was lucky for them. It was for as a first spinoff in the series, that like a major spinoff, I think that they got lucky with it. You know, they took a risk and it worked out for them. Solo did not.
Keep in mind, though, for Rogue One, the big thing about it was the first non-episodic Star Wars movie.
Correct.
So that really is what got people interested in that. It was a Star Wars story. It wasn't Star Wars episode. It was a Star Wars story.
Yeah, and it was a story that we didn't know about. It was behind the scenes of stealing the Death Star plans. Han Solo. Yeah, we may not have known the whole story in this movie beforehand, but we kind of know where he came from. We know his backstory. We know he was a smuggler. We know he did the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. You know, we know that he met Chewie and stuff like that. We know all the important stuff in his life. We didn't have to know the small details. Rogue One, on the other hand, it was cool learning about the small details, you know, on what was happening in the background of the Empire and trying to get those plans and stuff like that. It was a cool concept that was unique and stuff like that. Whereas Solo is stuff that we kind of already knew, but it was kind of explaining like a backstory. It's kind of like a good example. If for people who've played Final Fantasy VII, you learn about Cloud's best friend as a little kid. When he was a soldier, his best friend Zack, we know he died. But then when his own spinoff game came out, we know at the end Zack's gonna die. But we got to know everything that happened before and led to that moment of him dying. So it was something that we know was happening, but we didn't know the entire story. With Solo, we kind of knew all the important stuff. It was just kind of getting to those important stuff that wasn't as interesting.
Well, yeah, 100%, actually. I agree.
Yeah. This
movie just didn't have anything new to offer that we had with Rogue One. And as popular of a character as Han Solo is, it kind of surprises me that it's doing this badly, I guess, in theaters. Because Rogue One was a bunch of no-names with a good story. You would think that Han Solo, the character that everybody loves from the original trilogy, would do well. You know, if you were to ask me about 10 years ago what people would want to see more, a Han Solo movie or a Lando movie, I don't think I would even remember who Lando was after you said Han Solo.
Yeah, well, I agree.
But it's completely flipped now.
And maybe they waited too long. Who knows? I mean, that could be one thing. Maybe they waited too long to do this movie, especially after killing him in Force Awakens, you know, kind of killing that character off and Harrison Ford kind of departing. He's like, oh, we got a goodbye. We got a goodbye story with Han Solo. You know, he's gone. You know, let him be. Oh, nope, never mind. We're going to tell you the origin. Now that he's dead, we're going to tell you the origin story. And I don't think that would have been a good idea. I think that if a Han Solo movie should have been made, it should have been made before they killed him off. But that's just my opinion. But that's the thing with Obi-Wan. With Obi-Wan, we had three movies with Obi-Wan. We had him when he was a Padawan with Qui-Gon Jinn. And we got to see him evolve. We got to see Obi-Wan evolve throughout the trilogy. And that was probably one of the better aspects of the prequels, was Obi-Wan himself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people can agree with that. One thing that why a lot of people are excited about Obi-Wan was he's probably one of the, in my opinion, he's one of my favorite characters in the entire Star Wars universe. As much as those prequels are, you know, critically, you know, critical reception on those, Obi-Wan is, I think, my favorite character in the Star Wars universe. I don't know about you, but, you know,
I enjoy Obi-Wan, but I don't see what they could do with an Obi-Wan movie. Because, yeah, as you said, his story has already been told. And then the only part of his life that hasn't been told is when he started his Jedi training before he became a Padawan, which is going to be boring. I don't want to see that. And then when he's sitting on a planet of sand for several years, watching a kid.
What is he going to do? Is he just going to tell his life how he's fighting off the Jawas, or like, I don't know what's going to happen, especially when there's no Jedi around. I mean, and of course, and one thing I did kind of spoil myself on with Darth Maul was that throughout the Clone Wars and Rebel series that he kept on coming by and fighting Obi-Wan and getting his butt kicked every single time. Unless they plan on bringing him back to fight an old Obi-Wan, you know.
I mean, even then, there's still no reason for a Kenobi movie. I mean, we've gotten some really dumb spin-off movies from other studios. Like, we've got Puss in Boots from the Shrek series. Nobody wanted that at all.
That was good, though. I will admit, that one actually was kind of good. I think that for an animated movie, that Puss in Boots, actually, I thought was, I thought that got good reviews.
I think it did okay with reviews, but it was not a great movie.
No. It wasn't fantastic. So that was Puss in Boots, which was surprising. You see a lot of these spinoffs with cartoons. I think you see majority of these with what else is there? Penguins of Madagascar from Madagascar. Let's see. What else was there?
The big ones that people would know is X-Men Origins Wolverine, which actually is a spinoff of the X-Men franchise. It was supposed to start a kind of solo movie kind of about each of the X-Men's origins, and it stopped with Wolverine. Because nobody wanted it anymore after that. And then Deadpool is actually a spinoff of that movie. So a spinoff of a spinoff that has gone on to be the most successful X-Men movie ever.
Yep. And of course you had stuff like Scorpion King, which was a spinoff of the Mummy series, which surprisingly got like four sequels somehow. I think that was actually the funny, like a lot of people don't know this about The Rock, but one of The Rock's very first acting roles was the Scorpion King in the Mummy movie. Like, even though most of it was CGI crap fest, that was one of his very, I think that was actually his first role, if I remember correctly. Like, his first acting role was in the Mummy, Mummy 2.
Was
it? Mummy 2? I swear that was like his big breakout.
That might have been his big breakout, but I swear he was in stuff before that.
Well, I'm about to find out. And then of course he had his own spinoff, which was a big milestone for him, of course. But I think one of the biggest ones was Lego Batman. I think that's probably one of the best ones I can think of.
Lego Batman kind of surprised everybody in being not only one of the best kind of spinoff movies, but one of the best DC movies. And one of the best Batman movies in general, in terms of like self-awareness.
Yeah, and especially coming off the success of the Lego movie, because when the Lego movie came out, that broke. I mean, that was critically applauded. Like that movie surprised everyone and was considered like one of the best movies, not of all time, but that year.
Oh yeah,
it was fantastic. And when Lego Batman got announced, people are like, "There's just no way this movie is going to come close to the Lego movie," and it surprisingly did. Like. No one Lego Batman did not deserve to be that good.
No, not at all. The Lego movie did not deserve to be as good as it was. It was a movie based on the concept of selling a toy. That is it. That was the entire movie. It was a 2-hour advertisement for Legos. And it ended up being one of the greatest movies of the decade, I think, pretty much. It's going to be remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to kind of go back to the Rock thing, yep, I was right.
That was his big break?
No, that was his first movie. So really? he had one movie in 1999 called Beyond the Mat, but it was a documentary where he played himself, so that doesn't really count. So The Mummy Returns was his very first actual acting role, outside of wrestling, of course.
And now he's one of the highest paid actors all time.
Yep. Yep. So when he started in The Mummy, he played the Scorpion King in The Mummy, and then he got his very first spinoff a year later. And then after that, he did stuff like The Rundown, Walking Tall, Be Cool. Those are when he started becoming an actual like serious actor, and then doing bigger movies, Gridiron Gang, and then of course once Fast. I think his big breakout movie, I think, was maybe Fast Five. I think it wasn't until Fast Five is when he became like, oh God, this guy's going to be the, like I said, the highest paid is actor. I don't think it was until Fast Five is until he got like ridiculously famous for his movies. Back to the Lego movie stuff.
Yeah. Well, then we had the Lego Ninjago movie, which was another spinoff that did not do as well as Lego Batman. So it's not. The Lego series is not guaranteed to be good all the time, but it still shows that spinoffs from good movies can still be good. Then you can look at TV shows turned to movies. Borat and Bruno are both spinoffs of a TV show. I'm trying to remember what the TV show was called.
It was like Ollie G. It's from the Ollie G show, I think.
Yeah.
It was because in the Ollie G show Sasha Baron Cohen played Borat and what was that second movie Borat and Bruno, those are characters in the Ollie G show,
yeah,
if I remember correctly. So those were spinoffs that came from that,
and those were both successful too. Those were those were successful in a completely different aspect.
Especially Borat. That movie got famous just because of the content and stuff like that. That was a big one.
Fantastic Beasts from Harry Potter.
I think when we're talking about spinoffs, I think that one is probably the biggest, I think.
That's the one that people are going to think of the most because it's still a central part of the Harry Potter franchise while being its own entity entirely.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I consider that a successful one, even though the first movie was basically a starting point and wasn't as great as it should be. I think it's a great start, and it's going to be a 4 or 5 movie spinoff series. So even though it's a spinoff, it already has feet to land on. It already has a plan to go on.
Yeah, I think my only problem with that movie was it wasn't what I was hoping it would be. That was my only complaint about it. It wasn't a bad movie, but it just was not what I wanted it to be.
No, yeah, definitely. And I agree. It was something that I feel, and especially with them already planning everything out in advance, they had to kind of get that stepping stone there. It's like, okay, here's the world. Here's what's happening. Here's how it differs from Harry Potter. And because based off the new one that's coming out, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and one of your biggest complaints was the lack of, beasts. And based off the new trailer, it looks like they're going to rectify that, hopefully. I think that they did hear a lot of people's complaints about that. And I think, and based off the trailer, there are some great beasts in the movie. But of course, we won't find out till later this year. But But it, hopefully that it fixes some of that stuff there. But one of the biggest ones.
The movie was called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I was expecting more kind of seeing these creatures from the magical world that we didn't really get to see too much in the Harry Potter movies. And then that ended up being like a third of the movie. So it was like, I don't know if that was the same movie I was supposed to see, but that definitely wasn't Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That was Whiny Kid is a Magician, the movie. I didn't see many beasts.
Yeah, and we'll find out in November. The new one looks fantastic, and I hope, you know, I have faith in J.K. Rowling and stuff like that, but we'll see in November. But one of the biggest things I see when it comes to, like, spinoff movies is that we're seeing a lot of horror movie spinoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like Annabelle, I think, is a big one.
Paranormal Activity had a couple, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and then I think Annabelle was a spinoff of was it Amityville?
Conjuring.
No. Conjuring. There you go. Yep. The Conjuring. There we go. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember the one of it. Yeah. And like we see a lot of these where it's like from the producers of, you know, blah, 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 featuring this that's set in the same universe. And I would say there's a lot of those coming out. And I feel like the horror movies is going to have a lot of spinoffs. I know like a lot of the older ones did too. But yeah, I think that's like kind of a new trend coming out. And then superhero movies, like X-Force, the new X-Force movie. I'm sure that consider that a spinoff.
That would definitely.
Deadpool.
That'll be a spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff.
Yeah. Oh, and another one we forgot, Creed.
Oh, that's right.
The Creed movie, the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was another one I completely forgot about.
I remember the marketing for that one was, it's not a Rocky movie. It's not a Rocky movie. It's not a Rocky movie. And then they started showing the trailers, and it's like, yeah, it's a Rocky movie. You guys won. You figured it out. We hate you. It was supposed to be our big reveal. You ruined it for us.
Yeah, that was good. And then we have, what are the other ones that are coming out that are kind of like a spinoff?
I remember they were going to do spinoffs from the Transformers series before that entire Bumblebee franchise got tanked. Yeah, there was Bumblebee. Supposed to be one for Bumblebee and one for Optimus Prime.
No, Bumblebee's still coming out.
Is it still happening?
Oh, it's happening. And it's, I think John Cena's supposed to be in it.
Why?
Yeah,
why are they
John
doing
Cena,
this?
Who else? Haley Steinfeld, I think, is supposed to be in it.
I swear they canceled everything that was supposed to be coming up for that franchise.
No, here, let me look it up real fast. Let's see. Actually, I think it's like, actually, hold on, it's right here. Bumblebee, December 20. Oh, God, it comes out in December. What? Yeah. Oh,
it's okay. Coming out this year?
It's coming out December 21st.
No,
apparently.
No, there's no way. Is it still being directed by Explosion Man McGee?
No, it's Travis Knight who directed. Okay, so this is actually good. This is actually kind of good news. The guy who did Kubo and the Two Strings.
Good movie.
Which he's directing it.
Okay. So has he directed anything else?
Yeah, so that's good, at least. And of course, he did Box Trolls, Paranorman, Caroline. I think he did a lot of the animation for like Coraline, Paranorman.
So he's done a lot of very weird kids movies then.
Yeah, but they're good. They're actually really good. Like he did the animation for those. But of course the biggest thing is that he directed probably one of the best movies that came out 2 years ago. Because Kubo came out 2016. Yeah. And that was a phenomenal. That was probably, I got nominated for best animated movie of the year.
And it didn't win.
It didn't win because, you know, Pixar. But that's the only hope I have for that movie. But of course, it all relies on the writing. So the screenplay is done by Christina Hodson, which she has only done two movies, one called Unforgettable, which I've never heard of, and a
which
movie
means that
Shut
was
In.
Not very unforgettable.
Yeah. And then Shut In, which with Naomi Watts, which I actually heard was kind of horrible.
So we were off to a good start on that one, and it just went downhill from there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, of course, but you know, we also had someone like James Gunn who did a phenomenal job as Guardians, but then realized he wrote the script for Scooby-Doo when it came out. So, we'll see how that comes out. So maybe she learned from her last two movies. But with him on it, I think we have some hope. maybe that he'll kind of put his own spin on it, you know. And it, like I said, it's not Michael Bay.
So it's not Explosions McGee.
Yeah, so at least we have that, and it's set like in the World War II area with probably one of the best parts of the movie's Bumblebee. So we'll see. But yeah, that's one coming out, and I can't think of any others that are coming out. I can't really think of anything.
I swear they were making a Scooby-Doo spinoff, and the only reason I remember that is because the Phil Lord and Chris Miller were tied to it, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
They might not be anymore, but yeah, it's just called Scooby.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and of course, like I said, and of course you have the superhero movie, so you have stuff like Birds of Prey, which is kind of like a spinoff of Suicide Squad, because it has Harley Quinn in it. And then, of course, you have X-Force, which is a spinoff of Deadpool. And then
Venom's,
of course,
coming up.
Venom, yeah, Venom's a big one. And then Black Cat, well, that's canned for now. Black Cat and Silver Banshee? No. I know it's Black Cat and Silver someone.
Yeah, I remember. It's...
That,
yeah.
That's delayed indefinitely. I think they just kind of put that aside.
They kind of swept it under the rug and went, we didn't really mean we wanted to make that movie. That was a joke.
Yeah, and then there's supposed to be like Sinister Six movie coming out, probably. Doom Patrol just got announced, and rumor is that Cyborg is going to be in that movie instead of a solo movie. But it's going to be like it's going to be a rated R, so we get to hear Cyborg drop the F-bomb.
Oh, good, because that's the one character I was hoping would be in an R-rated movie.
I think he'd be pretty cool in a Doom Patrol. But that's a spinoff. And then, of course, we have Titans. Well, that's a TV show. I think that now we're going to be getting to a lot of spin-off movies with superhero movies. So, especially since like we're getting kind of at the end of the Avengers run.
Yeah.
And then with DC kind of getting away from the Justice League part, we're getting a lot of these spin-offs with characters who we've been introduced to, and they're kind of getting their own movie, like Birds of Prey and X-Force with Deadpool, Colossus, and stuff like that. You know, it's going to be definitely going to be quite a bit, especially with Star Wars and stuff like that. Trying to think of anything else. No, I can't think of anything else.
Those were the major ones. I mean, there's, of course, spinoffs of pretty much everything and a half. And that's not even us going through TV shows. That TV shows have their entire own category of spinoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and in that series, we're talking about Angel. I know that's a big one from the Buffy series. More recently, we have Better Call Saul, which is like a spinoff of
Breaking
Bad. Which
is fantastic.
Yeah, that's an,
pretty
that's
much
a big
everything
one.
In the CW universe is a spinoff of Arrow.
Of Arrow, yeah. Yeah, basically. Except for Black Lightning. Yeah, now. That Black Lightning is
yeah,
like the
that
only
one's
one
solo, yeah.
That one's for now, solo for now. But that existed before Arrow, so...
And same with Supergirl, because that's a part of it all now, too.
Yeah, yeah, and... Yeah, at least she wasn't introduced on their show, so that, yeah, she's kind of like her own in a way. Like the CW show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is his own thing, Defenders, well, that's just a team-up movie.
Fuller House.
Punisher was a spinoff.
Punisher was a spinoff, yep.
That was a last minute, that was because of how he did in the Daredevil 2, Fuller House. With all the rumors with the Roseanne getting canceled, there's rumors that they're going to do a spinoff of one of the characters on that show. And you see a lot of that stuff happen when a show gets canceled because of reasons. And they have to, instead of recasting, they make it into a, like Joey. Joey was a spinoff of Friends. So they kind of wanted to capitalize on the show ending. So they did a spinoff of Joey, which really didn't do well.
Last season of Scrubs was supposed to be a spinoff.
Was it?
Yeah, the final season of Scrubs, where it was like a college that they taught med school and everything at. That was a spinoff originally.
I did not know that.
But I don't think they could get approved for anything else, so they just kind of made it the last season of Scrubs, which was a poor choice because they couldn't get most of the main characters back for it.
Wow, I did not know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
See, one of the other big ones is Xena. That's a big one, because that was a spinoff of Hercules, Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Kevin Sorbo, his Hercules show from, oh God, that was like the early 90s, I believe. Yeah, Xena was a spinoff of that. Yeah, that means just like, yeah, TV shows in general. And that usually spinoffs happen on TV either when the show ends and they kind of want to continue it in a way, but they can't have the whole cast, or something gets canceled and they want to...
They already have contracts with the actors and they're going, we're going to still use these.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and kind of like, I wouldn't consider Serenity a spinoff. That was kind of more of a finale in a way. But I know they wanted to kind of do a spinoff of Firefly, but they just couldn't get it off the ground. Star Trek, I think Star Trek is the one that has the most spinoffs, because then you had a spinoff with Next Generation, and then you had just Star Trek had spinoff after spinoff after spinoff and stuff like that. And then spinoffs turned into movies and, you know, and then reboots and all that stuff. But this, I think Star Trek is probably the biggest one that had just spinoffs everywhere.
Yeah. But that is all the time that we have here on the breakfast table. But as always, you can catch a backlog of our episodes on, we can find them on iTunes and on, I'm trying to remember the name, Google Play Store. That's the one. That's Google's. Yep. But until next time, this has been The Breakfast Table.